That's the Mile High Hoops Podcast with me, Zach Bye, powered by my friends at Superbook Sports.
Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the podcast, reacting to an absolute epic beatdown of the Phoenix Suns in Game 6 of the Western Conference Semifinals, 125-100, in a game that really wasn't even as close as the final score would indicate. The Denver Nuggets have punched their ticket to the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets are going to the furthest place that this franchise has quite literally ever been. Holy freaking moly. A beatdown, a taken behind the woodshed, spanking, followed by an absolute burial. Holy moly. The Nuggets just absolutely jumped Phoenix in that first quarter. After 12 minutes, it was 44-26. I am elated. I have been podcasting and talking about this team on the radio for years, the most of any person at the Fan, by a wide margin. In fact, I'm going to share something right now, and I forget if I've ever shared this, and there's a reason that I'm going to just pull the curtain back a little bit. We started this podcast in 2017. No, it was 2018, I think. I'm trying to remember. I got to Denver in 2017. I think we started the podcast in the 2018 season. God almighty, now I'm second-guessing myself. I've done this in the past. I apologize. It was 17, whatever. Been doing this podcast for a long freaking time. But the reason that we started this freaking podcast is because it was not necessarily in vogue to talk about the Denver Nuggets on the radio. So we make no bones about it. Like, we're in the money making business. This is not some altruistic like virtue. Like, we're going to do we're out to make money. And at the time when I first got to Denver, there's a reason, just bear with me here. When I first got to Denver, the Broncos had just won Super Bowl 50. They were like cleaning up the confetti. It was like two seasons before. And it's such a Broncos town, and our business model at the Fan had flipped during like that Super Bowl run of like, we're going all Broncos all the time. And a lot of people didn't like it, especially if you were like a Nuggets fan or an Avs fan, or you wanted to hear about some Rockies. Like, it was, the motto was, there's never an off season for talking Broncos. And despite people not wanting to hear that, guess what? It worked. We set ratings records. Our sales department had their, you know, biggest, financial, gains in this history of the station. And, you know, you can measure all this stuff, right? Whether it's TSL or time spent listening or downloads, et cetera, da, 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 da. And I am such a basketball guy, playing the game for my whole life and, you know, being at one point in time a full scholarship college player, becoming the voice of a Division I university and calling hundreds of basketball games over a six-year period. And I'm just so obsessed with basketball. Then I get to Denver and I'm doing sports talk radio and I'm hired to talk sports, you know, as one of the talent, which was a dream come true, but it came with a hitch. It came with a hitch. And it was hard for me to process at first that, like, yeah, like, we live in a four-sport town, but you're only going to dwell on one of the teams. And when they showed me all the data, when I gave them the pushback, I didn't have a leg to stand on, so I went along with the business model. And that's how this podcast became a podcast. It was me and Earl Boykins, and it was me. I was given the liberty and the license to get my shit off from a basketball standpoint because I wasn't able to do it on the air. And my, how things have changed. I mean, I'm given the liberty to talk about whatever I want now. I'm in a different position. I have more equity built up. It's 6 years later. So my current boss, who's different from the one who hired me, is like, he hasn't talked to me about my show's content in like 3 years. Like, he just trusts me. Like, whatever direction I want to go, that's the direction that he lets me go. So now we've chosen to continue this podcast, like, out of a labor of love. And it does have a sponsor on it these days. It didn't always. I was doing this for free for the first 4 years of doing this podcast. And now it's just so crazy for me to be following the arc of this team, and everyone's all in. Like, everyone's all in. And I look back to how things were when we started. It just couldn't be any more different. The Nuggets were an afterthought. And I think about, and I'm just going to just ramble here for a second. So just bear with me, please. Like, I think back to, you know, game 82 against Minnesota. I think it was a 2017-18 season. And it was, the Nuggets are in game 82. And if they win, they're in. And the Minnesota Timberwolves beat them. And I thought, I'm like, man, they needed to win that game. Because even if you go into the playoffs and get swept, there's value in that. And what's the value? The lessons learned for the climb that you're on, for the climb that you're just beginning. So I was actually really upset back during that season, being like, the Nuggets missed a massive opportunity to get swept. And I know a lot of people, it didn't make sense at the time, but I said repeatedly then and throughout the years, the NBA is about a climb. And we're going to get back to that conversation in a minute, how it relates to Phoenix, or it doesn't relate to Phoenix. You think about the journey. You think about the Nuggets, okay, then the following season finally punching their ticket to the playoffs. And losing, them winning a series against San Antonio when it took seven, even with home court advantage, and then they faced the Blazers, and that took seven. And I remember game seven, it was on their home court. The Nuggets were in the same position they were in the series against Phoenix, where they had a 3-2 lead, and they lost game six in Portland and had to come back and play Portland in Denver. Denver's the favorite. They should have won. They were the better team. I was convinced of it then, like I'm convinced of it now. But they lost, and it was CJ McCollum going nuts, and like Evan Turner going nuts, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe the Nuggets just missed out on an opportunity to go to the Western Conference Finals, and then they come back, and then it's COVID, and they finally get to the Western Finals, but they lose, and everyone remembers the gaffe from Plumlee, and you know, then you get back and you're swept by Phoenix because you're not whole. And then you get back and you get beat by the Warriors and it wasn't competitive because you're not whole. And now you get to this point and I am just, you know, this is a moment in Nuggets history, okay? They are now going to their fifth ever Western Conference Finals. They become an NBA team in 1976. They get to the Western Finals in 78. They get back in 85. They get back in 2009. They get there in 2020. But this rendition of the Nuggets is so much superior to any other iteration in the history of this franchise. It's their best chance they've ever had to win. And the fact that they're following through on it, the fact that they're healthy, like just going over the arc of the team and the climb and the battles and the scars. And also, you know, again, like talking about the podcast and resetting just like the arc of the team and the interest around the team, it's so much different than it was 5 or 6 years ago. And I'm just so happy that we have chronicled this journey on this podcast for as long as we have. Look, we're not making a bucket, okay? I'm not setting a screen or blocking a shot. But there is some pride involved with covering this team because we have a sense of belief. And the Nuggets, because they can't operate like a team like Phoenix, who will reload with free agents this offseason. I can promise you. That's why it was so important that Denver got them this time around when they were so vulnerable to get got. It's massively important. But because Denver is Denver and they're not Miami or one of the coastal cities that land free agents, you have to do it the grassroots way. They're sort of like the anti-NBA team. So the fact that they've done it in such a unique way and it's paid off now to the degree that it has, it's just, I'm elated. I'm so happy for the Nuggets players. I'm happy for the Nuggets organization. I'm happy for long-suffering, downtrodden Nuggets fans that have experienced so much failure, and you get to have this moment in the sun with the promise of more. I'm happy for Jamal Murray and Jokic, who for different reasons have both endured so much. And I'm thrilled. I am absolutely thrilled. There's a lot to be proud of here. And I want to say this. And we're not going to talk about a whole bunch of notes through the game and break down like plays of the game. This game was over by the first quarter. After 12 minutes of play, it's 44-26. This was a domination, station. I mean, just an incredible feat and flex. But I want to say this. The preview episode to this series could also serve as the final episode. I want to say that again. What we said in the preview episode before this series, the signature talking points that we had in forecasting the series are the signature talking points that I have when we look back at the series. Let me take a drink. Hold on. Give me a second here, because first of all, I'm going to tell you a wild story right now. I just recorded a 28-minute episode of this episode, of the same episode that I'm doing right now. I just did it. We didn't realize that one of the other computers that is hooked up to the system was on and in programming. So when commercials were firing on like advertisements and stuff like that for these other for like ESPN.com, it was firing through the audio. So quite literally, an entire 28-minute episode was ruined. This happened before a couple years ago, and it drives me nuts. I'm not going to let it ruin my day, but I just talked for an hour. I have to talk for 3 hours. I'm here early. I'm here hours before I have to be on the air so I could do this episode, and it just got ruined. And so I'm running it all back. That's a little secret for us here today. So I'm trying to keep my thoughts. I'm trying to stay focused and remember what I said, and I'm also trying not to lose my voice before my three-hour radio show. I'm going back to the preview episode, guys. The NBA is about a climb. The NBA is about stringing lessons and experiences together and using them to applying those lessons in high leverage moments and winning big. That's how this goes. Okay. Very rarely in NBA history do you throw a team together like the Raptors. The Raptors added Kawhi Leonard and went and won a championship. Find me another example like that. Find me an example when a blockbuster trade is made at the deadline for a player like Kevin Durant, and you say goodbye to Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, and you know, and say, "Hey, let's put our hands in together. Let's go be great on three." It doesn't work like that. So when I just reset the Nuggets arc going through the years, when I just reset all the failures against Portland and going 7 with San Antonio and losing in the bubble to the Lakers, or getting bounced promptly by Golden State, or getting swept by Phoenix, think about all the scars that this team has. And now think about how the Phoenix Suns were constructed. I do not care how talented you are. Even Wade, Bosh, and LeBron, it took time. Kobe Bryant and Shaq were swept by Utah, and they got bounced by the Jazz multiple times before they broke through. Scottie and Jordan, it took time. They had to go through the process of it. That's how this league works. It's not the NFL. It's not the NHL. It's the NBA, and it has a traditional profile of what it takes to get there. And the Denver Nuggets had paid those dues, and Phoenix didn't. And you just can't talent your way to a championship. And you cannot say, let's finish building the airplane as it's going off. And the attributes that were gained during the process of the climb and the lack thereof from Phoenix, they were both on full display in Game 6 on Thursday night. To a heavy degree. Guys, that game should have been 50. They should have lost by 50 the way that they did to Dallas a year ago. Don't forget, they were down 30 at halftime to Dallas last year as well. But if it wasn't for a freaking campaign going for 31 points and hitting 7 of 9 three-pointers, they don't lose by 25. They don't. They lose by 40. They lose by 40. So I want to go to giving some individual shout-outs here from the game starting and ending with Jokic. We went on for about 12 minutes on the most previous episode talking about him being the head of the snake, talking about how he's the sun and to which all other planets orbit. He is all that all over again. He doesn't have bad games. To repeat myself from the last episode, reacting to Game 5, he is the best player in this series. Booker burned the brightest in, you know, compressed amount of times, and he was phenomenal. We're not here to dump on Book. But Booker had 12 points in 36 minutes on 4 of 13 shooting. You know what Booker had that Jokic doesn't have? Bad game. Jokic doesn't have bad game. In the games that Jokic lost, it was 30-17-17, and the other one was dropping 53. I mean, this guy is brilliant. And I have held out on, if you listen to this podcast, you might have heard me say it a couple times. I believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the world, okay? I've seen him carry a team to an NBA championship. I've seen him win finals MVP in addition to a regular season MVP. I've seen him win MVP the same season he won Defensive Player of the Year. That list is Jordan, Hakeem, and him. That's it. But I'm not here to take away from Giannis. I'm here to crown Jokic. And although we haven't seen Jokic cross through the threshold of winning a championship, Jokic right now is the best player in the world. He is definitively, for me, the best player on planet Earth right now. And I've held out given that title because I just believe you got to do it on the biggest stage to get that title. Like, we've seen guys win MVP that weren't the best player in the world. Russell Westbrook won MVP, wasn't the best basketball player in the world at that time. LeBron James was. When Steve Nash won a second MVP, wasn't the best player in the world. Kobe was at that time. We saw Charles Barkley win an MVP in 1993. He wasn't the best player. Michael Jordan was still in the league. He was the best player at that time. Even Malone winning it a couple times in the late 90s. Jordan was still the best player in the NBA. But now, Jokic has married the league's MVP, despite not winning it this year, with the best player in the world. And that's an intersection that only a handful of guys have had through the past, you know, or through NBA history. And Jokic has that title right now. There's just no one playing at a higher level. I love it. I'm seeing new leadership characteristics about Jokic that have been missing for me in the past. Even just going to the games live and not being a slave to what the television shows you, I'm seeing just connective tissue stuff with Jokic that's really encouraging, in addition to him being just an all-world freaking one of the greatest players we've ever seen. So I absolutely love what I'm seeing about Jokic, and you should be supremely confident heading into the next round, regardless who it is, that no matter who it is, the Nuggets are going to have the best player in the series. And that carries through the NBA Finals if we were to be so lucky. Jamal Murray, got to be happy for Jamal. Everything that he's gone to, like what we're seeing right now, and I've had questions about Jamal, whether he can be the second best player on a title team. Those questions persist. We don't have the answer to that question right now. You don't get awarded that title after winning a second round series. But what I'm seeing from Jamal right now, and the response from a lackluster game 5 and scoring 26 points in game 6, we are getting the dividends as fans to the patience that we've shown the last two seasons. With his absence, we are getting paid out the dividends, and you just love it. You love it for Jamal. He was under the weather, and to be able to perform like that, perfect from the free throw line, making 4 threes, you love to see it. Absolutely love to see it from Jamal Murray. I want to give Aaron Gordon a shout out. We predicted Aaron Gordon would average 15 points a game in the series. He fell short of that, but his number one characteristic for his role in this specific situation for this team is to be an all-world defender. I thought he met that criteria, especially as the series aged. Like, if I told you Kevin Durant was going to shoot below 50% for the series, you'd feel pretty good about the Nuggets' chances. Just because Gordon didn't score the basketball at a high level doesn't mean his impact wasn't greatly felt. I mean, what was Durant, 1 of 10 in that first half? His efforts against Booker and Durant in this series should not go without notice. And so I want to give a tip of the cap to him. He went from guarding Karl Anthony Towns in the first series to Durant in the second series and some Booker, and then now he's going to be guarding, you know, LeBron or AD. I don't know how it's going to go quite yet, but You just love what you saw from AG. This is why, this is what we talked about when he first was traded for. And credit Tim Connelly for that trade. It was, now we got a guy that can try to slow down Kawhi and Luka and Durant. And I thought he fit that billing to a really good degree. So huge shout out to Aaron Gordon, despite not being, you know, hyper efficient offensively. Don't forget, the court is cut in half. It's 50-50, guys. It's not 70-30. And when you have great offensive players at the other end, that importance just, it carries on new meaning for a guy like Gordon and what his role is. So huge tip of the cap. Michael Porter Jr., while he had a couple nice, you know, bright spots and creative finishes and stuff like that, he struggled, I thought, offensively on the whole, 0-4 from three. But he was a pleasant surprise, I thought, in as a defender. In a bunch of stretches during this series, especially as it aged, using that length to be effective. So I want to give him some credit. And then really, maybe the most of all, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. His tone setter in a must-have game, in a closeout game, was so impactful. Like when we talk about, hey, this guy's got championship pedigree, this guy's been here, that's fun to say, but how does that actually translate with substance? Well, you saw it in the first period, in that first quarter. KCP met the moment with intensity, with aggression. I mean, look at him in transition. He was so incredibly assertive, and I thought was the absolute tone setter. 17 points in the first quarter. The game was over in the first quarter. The story of the game got told in the first quarter, and KCP was the main character of that story. So his importance, we've been talking about before he ever played a possession of Nuggets basketball, how integral that move is going to be from Calvin Booth. And that has paid off time and time and time again, but maybe not in any bigger spot than on Thursday night closing out the Phoenix Suns. Bruce Brown, I thought, was really good again. You know, just, you know, 13 points. He was a plus 26 when he was on the floor, coming off that 25 point remarkable performance in that fork in the road game five. So big tip of the cap for Bruce Brown as well. And, you know, it just the additions of those two guys have just been peanut butter and jelly for this group. Seamless. Calvin Booth deserves all the credit in the world for those two moves. How about the absence of DeAndre Ayton? Hey, if I'm a Suns fan, I got to take a look in the mirror at my criticisms and just how harsh that fan base has been on him. You look at the points in the paint on Thursday night game six, 62 points in the paint. Guys, that is half the production offensively that Denver had was in the painted area. That just doesn't happen if he's out there. And you love to see it. Just like water will find its path of least resistance. That was the Nuggets approach. Like, oh, we can exploit this painted area without that monster inside. While he's not a perfect player, he is certainly a deterrent at the rim. And I thought Denver took serious advantage of that on the glass and in the points in the paint. Okay. I think that is where we are going to keep it for now. I know there's some stuff that on that episode that I recorded that was lost that I'm never going to get back. That's okay. Times are good right now. We are going to take a few days off. The Nuggets aren't going to start their Western Conference finals series until Tuesday. So the team gets to put their feet up. I think just from a general Nuggets perspective, you should be hoping for the Golden State Warriors to force Game 7 to push that series as long as it can. So those guys come into altitude coming on like 48 hours rest. I think that's what Nuggets fans should be rooting for. We may, and this is not a promise, but we may come back and do a preview episode of whoever the matchup is earlier in the week. The reason I say we may is because I just have a ton of stuff going on personally and professionally. And we're only obligated to do one podcast a week through our sponsorship, you know, cooperation here at the station. But we've done four out of the 5 days this week. Look, we're not going to not come in and react to these playoff games, right? But that being said, we may just wait until we come back, until after game number one of the Western Finals. Haven't decided yet. So just keep an eye out for that. If you subscribe, which I would greatly appreciate, you'll get an alert, right, that the new episode is out. And that's whether you're, you know, DenverSports.com, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. And then lastly, on the way out, I just want to say thank you, you know, to you, the listeners. I sort of reset the story of this podcast and why we started it and why we've continued it. And this year, more than ever, I'd be at like a game or something like that, and or out at a remote, and someone would say, hey, you know, love the show, but I also really like the Mile High Hoops podcast. Got a DM last night saying the same thing, hearing from like one of like the fathers of one of my son's schoolmates, like, hey, you know, came across your podcast. I really like it. Tell a friend if you do, you know, give it 5 stars, tell a friend. It'd be greatly appreciated. That's the best way to grow this thing, is through the grassroots, just like the Nuggets, organically, right? So I greatly appreciate you being here. Thank you. This has been a blast. The Nuggets are well on their way. Looking forward to a great Western Conference final series. And I think, man, the Nuggets, they have as good of a shot as they have ever had in the history of this organization. And I cannot wait for what's next. But whatever is next, guys, you already know. We're going to be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Mile High Hoops podcast, powered by Superbook Sports. Until next time.